back to the rod of iron. We've got to hold to the rod of iron. There is no other way. And that's the Word of God. That's our way. Jay, in his, some of his remarks this evening, he made the remarks that the writings of the Buddhism, and those date back 4,000 years. Long time, isn't it? Do you know that you read in writings that's older than that daily? If you were to go back 4,000 years today, you'd come in around 2015. We hold within the Book of Mormon a record in 2200 B.C. at the time of the Tower of Babel of the workings of God among the children of men. We find that when we look at these things, we possess within our hands that was given to us by the power of God, the very stopper to set upon the false teachings of the Eastern religions and the philosophy of do your own thing. We have the very thing we can bring to a halt. Many of the nations where much of this is from stem after the period of time of Abraham, if you please, that stem from the brother of Jacob, Esau. Many of those nations that he quoted, all those hundreds of millions, and at 85 million, and those things, they came from the seed of Esau, who was the brother of Jacob, the twin brother of Jacob, who sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. That's the nation. The Arab nation, the nations that we're talking about, where these things have begun to stem from with power, many of this come in from those things. And so when we look at it and we get right down serious about it, we indeed have answers for the very things that come up and where they come out that's so close. But if they're close, then that means that we must be more serious in teaching those things that are close so our people and those who we talk to understand the way and the workings of God, the Eternal Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. And in these things that we heard tonight, it does one thing. It makes us alert and awake of the responsibility that is ours. And that where we might be able to more readily detect the things that we have about us. But we must know that whatever thing that, or anything that has come upon the face of the earth from the beginning, henceforth and forever to the end, God has set a stopper. He has set a way to bring it to a halt if someone is seeking the truth. He has always brought forth sufficient evidence to edify the hearts and the souls of the children of men who hunger and thirst, who knock, who ask. He has always provided those things. And so to be fearful, I don't think that's the answer, to be fearful. But the answer is to be prepared and ready to answer these situations that come before us. Because the Scriptures has answered them over the generations of time. And so those are the things that we have to look at. And we have to know that it's going to raise its head because we're living in that period of time. And there's not any sense of us trying to fool ourselves that we're going to live and we're living in a period of time and we're raising our children. You better know that, Karen. You're not raising your children in a period of time that's going to be smooth sailing. We're raising our children and we're living in a period of time that we're going to have to choose this day whom we shall serve. And the day of time that we must seek first the kingdom of God. That's the day of time we live in. A day of time that the mothers and the parents and your ministry must so openly and directly, constantly teach that the children of men will know the truth and know wherein that they must set their feet in the path under the tree of life. And I have seen this, and I saw this years ago, and I said, I think, something to John, and I said it to other people. If you take notice that even in the restoration groups, when they began to pull away, in the times before, when Barney Fuller left the restoration group, he ended up in the Jesus movement. Then he ended up in a different kind of movement. Then he ended up in just baptized into nothing. We see the development of these things all about us, and we must be awake and alert of what's happening, that we might teach against those things, and that we might hold tight to the law of harmony. And so I'm very happy, and I think that they really presented it this evening very good to let us know what to look for and to understand. And I think that in that presentation, that we must know that we have a power that was given unto us by the power of God to set before the children of men the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it has been in existence before these things were in existence. It was in existence before there was a Buddha, before there was a Hindu, before there was an Eastern religion. They recognized the God, the Eternal Father, and His Son. So those are things that we have to keep in mind, and keep in mind that when you pick up that, as you read in the book of Ephesians, we're dating back even prior to the time of their early writings, 4,000 years. That's 4,200 B.C.
Okay. Yeah, question. Kathy, Hannah?
Well, I was pretty depressed when everything was said, because the way I look at it is that we're not really worshiping butterflies transcending. You can enjoy butterflies. I mean, all this other thing. I got it fairly clear that it's not that we can't see or enjoy any of this stuff. We just got to be able to.
Yes, sir. I want to make another comment concerning what Joel said, as well as what concerning I thought about what he was talking, what Michelle said, as much as going home and tearing everything off the wall. This group of people, this is a theory that we talked about and thought about, Jay and I, and read different things, made us think, I don't really know which ones, is that Aquarius was destroyed at the time of Noah. Some people believe this. I mean, Atlantis was destroyed at the time of Noah. And at the time of Noah was given the rainbow for our benefit. And if that's true, then the rainbow was given for their benefit at the time of Noah too. And my thing is, in saying this, is that we say that God loves, and we love, and they say God love, that God is love, and we say God's love, and we say we love. And then we think, and we both agree on that. But the thing is they say that God is in us because we love. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything that we believe in, that we have set a standard on, they have a counter standard. It's similar, but yet opposite. And so there's no way that you can take everything out of your life that is in this thing, because they're in everything. Every aspect of life, from kids' toys, children's toys, to makeup, clothes, you name it. You know, and you cannot take everything out of your life that has something to do with it, because you'd be left standing on a rock in the middle of the Pacific somewhere. You know, that'd be it. And what Joel, the thought I had on what Joel had to say is what music is promoting and what people don't want to hear today is authority. We don't want no one telling me what to do. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. Music promotes it, and people live it. I want to do my own thing, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. Debbie.
I thought it'd be easier if you read the preface of that.
Here.
If you read the preface of The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, what they say the rainbow is today.
Let's see. It says, although the rainbow seems to be only a colored arc of light refracted through raindrops, to both Christians and New Agers, it has a deep meaning. According to the Bible, the rainbow is symbolic of God's everlasting covenant that He would never again destroy the earth by a flood. However, the New Age movement uses rainbows to signify their building of the rainbow bridge, Antahkarana, between man and Lucifer, who, they say, is the Oversoul. New Agers place small rainbow decals on their automobiles and bookstores as a signal to others in the movement. Some people, of course, use the rainbow as a decoration, unaware of the growing popular acceptance of its occult meaning and the hidden dangers.
That's kind of interesting. Done.
I want to say something. I don't know what it is I want to say. and I'm positive right now that it isn't going to come out the way I feel, because it's really a feeling more than it is a well thought out statement. But what I feel, several things are important for us to remember in this time. One thing I think important is to realize that there really are forces and powers that are exercised by many people in the world, and they're real. When I was younger, I had a tendency, when, you know, people talked about the occult, to laugh it off as something that's, you know, just an entertaining figment of your imagination. Today, I recognize that there are forces and powers that are available for people in the world to use. And that what our responsibility is always to, for ourselves and to help our children and our young people see that the only one of those forces and powers that will be for our ultimate well-being is God. And all others, we had better be careful about and a little fearful about. Now, I just think of some key words that were read to us this evening, and I remember back, you know, that these things are being taught today in seminars. If you were a psychologist, you'd go to seminars. If you're a businessman, you'd go to certain seminars directed specifically to that type of business. If you were a chiropractor, you'd be going to seminars. And these seminars are directing people into the utilization of inner forces, external forces, for self-improvement and self-realization. And they're real. There really are ways that we can affect our health, our prosperity, and our weaknesses, our well-beings. You know, but we've got to be careful as to the source that we turn to. I have in a folder here an article about a young man in California who is practicing priestcraft. And the Book of Mormon identifies priestcraft as that which enables the people to have self-gratification and increase in wealth, and they're not really concerned about the welfare of Zion or God's kingdom. They're concerned about their own welfare and their own prosperity. And this man offered people power over their fears. Now that's something that a lot of people need, you know. A lot of people are fearful, and this sounds wonderful. But the thing is that he doesn't utilize God. God promises power over our fears and over our weaknesses. And these people are not utilizing God. They're utilizing other sources of power that are very real. The Zen Buddhist offers us increased awareness and peace of mind and all, but it's through irrational thought. We need to be careful of that. We need to be leery of that. In the Reader's Digest, there were many things that were pointed out in an article about self-hypnosis, how it could improve our life and help us overcome things that were dissatisfied. But in the process of doing it, we're not relying upon God. We're turning our mind over to other powers and forces that are at work in the world. And that's what I think is, if there is any need that we have and that our children have, we better remember that God can meet that need and turn to Him in His way. And if we turn, you know, to assertiveness training, to relaxation training, to stress elimination classes, to human sexuality classes, if we turn to these other sources, and they're in our colleges, they're in our high schools, they're in our elementary schools. When teachers go to a seminar, they teach them these fundamentals of transcendental meditation, of how to relax and how to remove stress and all. And I have experienced them. And you do it, you know, by a repetition of meaningless words and phrases. And you're turning your mind over to something that is God. And there's a power there, it's real, but it's something we need to be careful of, because God can recognize and meet our every need. We need to not be looking to other sources, but looking to Him. Recognize, you know, that this isn't just a lot of silly talk with a bunch of clue words, and when you hear those words, you ought to know. Right now, this isn't the Lord talking. This isn't His way. When you hear these other words, and they're there, they're out there. But we ought to recognize and help our children recognize that there is power available. Their strength and their power. Yogis have all kinds of power. I mean, they can live for 10 minutes immersed in water, and you and I'll die. You know, but what do they do to get that power? That's the important thing. We want to turn to the Lord for the power He wants us to have.
I want to say one thing before we take other questions. One of the reasons why I'm not willing to commit myself to say this is the Antichrist movement is for a few things that have happened in history. And for some of their philosophies are, one of them, as we mentioned, is they're against authority. They hate Catholicism. They hate it. And they openly state that they might have to be eliminated. They hate the Islam, and they hate Christianity because they're dogmatic and they cause separation. And so they hate these things, and they're willing to eliminate them. Now, in 500 and some A.D., I think it was, I can't remember exactly when it was. It was before 570, I think. But when the papacy and the Catholic Church began to come into being, they took over, the government that was suppressed that allowed them to come into being was this type of philosophy. And I also wanted to point out that many of the things that we do see in Catholicism, nuns and monks and not eating meat on certain days and this kind of stuff, they didn't originate in Catholicism. They came from this right here. But the other thing is that the Book of Mormon makes a statement. He says, when you see the wrath of God poured out upon the mother of abominations. And so the reason I'm not willing to say that this is the Antichrist because these people want to pour out wrath on the mother of abominations. And maybe there's something to that too. So I'm not willing to commit myself that this is it. Okay? Because it's there. That makes sense to you. That's why I'm not willing to commit myself, because of things that have already happened in history and certain things, the way they're worded. John or Brother Housling, I think, has his hand up.
I don't know if I can put my thoughts into something that's brief or not. I had many questions come into my mind. There were questions that I imagined that several of us in here had in our thoughts and not expressed them. We've had people down through period of time the Church of Christ has existed that has left the Church and gone into other beliefs. They were not satisfied with it. What made them dissatisfied is not the point to me. But you know that there's 2,400 different religious organizations in the United States today. And if we were to spend our time searching out 2,400 different religious beliefs, which the most of them are antichrist, their ministers are going out and gathering people by the thousands, talking to them, making themselves rich beyond belief. They're antichrist. Antichrist is everywhere. Now, if a person would occupy themselves in a study of the 2,400 different religions, odd religions in this country alone, they would have no time to give to the full attention to their own Christian beliefs, let alone live an example of those beliefs. We have found the truth of the scriptures regarding eternal life and the eventual conduct of the soul of man. We need not look further. But there are times we agree. The things project into our thoughts. We don't ask them to be there, but they come. And if we're not founded surely on a more full attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ as we have been taught and as we will be taught, and if we cannot be satisfied to accept the counsel that comes from that pulpit, and the counsel comes in our homes, wherever that counsel is given, if we can't rely on that, receiving knowledge that this thing is going on over here, this thing is going on over here, that is anti to our religious beliefs and our Christian beliefs. We must learn to trust in the guidance that your ministry will give. For we have been set apart and ordained to receive of God instructions that we pass on to you. That's essentially what we're called for. Various of us have different responsibilities. But altogether, there is no need to go any farther than that which is contained in the ministry, the basis on which the Church of Christ is built. So we have found the truth. But sometimes we hear something when we're not sent together someplace, but no time where it is. And we might give a somewhat of attention to it, but if something is projected into our thoughts, we have our own experience here of departures, and having gone into something we know not what it is, and they don't know themselves what it is. But as long as we have reclaimed by our testimony that we have found the truth, well, I'm satisfied with that truth. But satisfaction is not just a statement that we make. Satisfaction is the works that we show that we have faith in that structure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are yet guiding counsels. There are yet structural directions that we must give our full attention to, which is yet to come. And constantly, as we live through the hours and the days and the weeks and months and years as it may be, these counsels and constructive directions will be given to us to keep us protected from those who are enemies in these anti-Christ doctrines. And any protection we need from the godless anti-Christ will surround us if we give a more full attention to the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And I think that's something we should give attention to. Now I have been, I guess, as long in the ministry. That alone is the point that I want to bring, but I've been in it a long time. I have had my mind changed many a time, but it's always changed to a more clear understanding that God has given to me to relate to our people, and it's so with all others that God has gifted to speak to our people and direct to them the guidance of the Holy Word. And I've changed my mind 100 times or more about something that at one time I felt I was very solid in. But that doesn't mean that I had to go out because I had something that disturbed me, upset me, that I go out and find out what somebody else believes, some religion or organization that arose and has no direction, really. It's just a day-by-day thing. And so, like I said a moment ago, that if we were to give ourselves over studying all the religious directions or religious councils, councils and organizations, 2,400 of them at least, and possibly when I got this data, that it's much more than that. I don't know what it is. But just think of it, of the time that we would have to spend searching out all these different beliefs. We would have no time to spend on our own, and no time to defend our own beliefs and do each other as we should. There's a table full of things that can tear you to pieces if you would give into it. And if it tears you to pieces, when you speak of what this thing is to somebody else, and you tell them, oh, this is wonderful and great, then they are deceived. And it spreads, like has been said to us tonight, untold thousands, millions perhaps, that are infatuated by these false doctrines. You go into the bookstores today, Dalton's or any other big bookstores, and you go in there and look for religions, and you look for where the Bibles are, and then you just glance over to the left of that, and here where these Bibles are is about two shelves, about this wide in one place I looked, about two shelves, and went up to the ceiling, and up the top there's over there, three shelves empty. But right over here was seven or eight divisions and shelves littered with the cults, witchcraft, and everything under the sun. And when you, if you stay in there just for the purpose of watching people move around, it's not surprising to see that most of them are giving attention to these rather than to those two columns of where the scriptures of God are written. So I would like to have our people educated, yes, to these things. But think of it. Well, this is just one presentation. Just think of it. If we used to cloud our minds with all of these other things, we wouldn't have any time for our own. It's a danger. If not the biggest danger we have today, there are those that are constantly trying to upset us and turn us aside. Look at our friends of the Reorganized Church, of which one time I was a member. For 5 years. And I believe definitely and positively in those things. And when I seen strange ways entering in, and the ministers of the Church of Christ came along and gave me instruction and got a gathering of our people and told us of these things, we recognized that they were innovations. We hadn't thought of it at all. And so the Church, the people that we love in the Restoration, both as far as all. Possibly all of the, what is the word? Part of the Restoration. We are not, what is that word?
Restored?
Huh? Faction. We're not a faction. This is the Church. This is the Church of Christ. And all the others are factions, having grown out of this. And it's for us to lead them. Not in the philosophies of men, but in the directions that are in the scriptures that are sound in our mind and in our heart. So don't be too angry when someone comes to you with some new thought, maybe a friend of yours, maybe they've heard something over the radio, or maybe they've been someplace and they found these things. Might be courteous to listen. But when you become aggravated by it, aggravated inside, as I've been time and time again through all the years, I guess I have gone to Washington, where there's a great number of beliefs. There's one that doesn't believe in war. They are Asiatic. I can't remember the name now. My memory is not that good anymore. But they don't believe in war. They don't believe in newspapers and magazines and books like that. And they have a gathering. And it's surprising at how they have grown from the time I went there first and the last time I was there. And people are being susceptible to this because the gospel of Jesus Christ has not gone out as it should through the Restoration Movement. There's 230-some thousand people in the Reorganized Church. And a statement was that which were read in the paper that I received some while ago, that they're losing an average of 330-some people every year. And they thought of it but lately, that we're not alarmed by it. But it's time now that we become alarmed with this, with all the 2,499 others that are existing. I'm not telling you not to listen, because that's up to you, because I can't tell you not to. But I think that our listening ears should be more in tune with that of the scripture, the gospel, the Jesus Christ that we can testify, and we yet have greater testimonies if we do faith.
Karen?
From the very day of this call, Lucifer has been attempting to subvert the promises and teachings of God. So it wouldn't be right for us to abandon the covenant of the rainbow and just, you know, wipe it out of our lives. But it seems like maybe righteous indignation would be the thing. I mean, it makes me mad that has become something else. And what Jay was reading, God is love. To them is something else. Well, right there it tells me faith is not enough. That every man, woman, and child needs knowledge. The faith will be subverted against by the devil, by these kind of teaching, and that what we need is each one of us has a responsibility to our own self to be saved, and we need knowledge, not of everything else, like Brother Hoffman said, but of our own teaching. That, you know, the rainbow to me is still the covenant of God, and I will not turn it over in my life to somebody else. It's just, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And we have a responsibility to ourselves and to our children to see that we are educated. We will not make it without knowledge. And it isn't something that we can acquire only by coming to church on Sunday and hearing a sermon. It's got to be something that we apply ourselves. We can't sit back and expect the ministry to do it for us. We have to take hold of our own salvation and take action. It's not a sit back, lay down world anymore. It's not the kind of religion that our parents or the parents, our grandparents had. It's the time for, warfare. We have got to arm ourselves. That's all there is to this knowledge.
I agree with that. Ed.
Okay. I want to try to be brief. The only thing I want to try to make basically is observations that I've seen that went along with what you spoke tonight. And one of them was, and Dad made mention of it, the very first thing that I have written down, and I think it goes along with Brother Housenick and what Karen just said, is this. The very first thing is that you know what you believe first. If you don't know what you believe, you can't do anything. If you don't know where you come from, you can't do anything. Because, I don't know, is it the Quran that they say is supposed to be the oldest known writings or something like that?
Well, the one I found was it was a Hindu writing. It was called the Vedas, the Veda. There are several kinds of several Vedas, and you may hear the word sometimes, the Vedic, in reference to esoteric or secret oaths and secret all kinds of things. But that's the Vedas is supposedly some of the oldest religious writings known. That they now we are, like Hubert said, our Bible is old, but the manuscripts it came from are not that old. Even though the writing gives history back way further than that, the manuscripts from that are not that old.
Okay, the reason I ask that is because Kathy and I worked with a very interesting fellow named Bruce McGee. And he claimed Christianity, but once you made your stand that you had certain beliefs or dogmas, you had the guidelines that you lived in. He didn't like that, so he was always trying to throw these things at you. One of the he threw at me was this, the oldest writing was 2,000 years old or something like that before Christ. And he says, that's the oldest history that we got. And the only recourse that I had was, I said, Bruce, you told me you're a Christian.
What I want to ask is one question. He says, go ahead. So have you ever looked in the very beginning of your Bible and find out how old that goes back to? He said, no. I said, 4004 B.C., that's got to be. And so then he couldn't say anything. The basic battle that we have to know, and it goes along with, and I'm going to quote my dream now that I had, and I got up and I gave testimony of it, because we've been talking about the power of Satan, Dad and Joel and I, and Andy, I believe it was. And that night I had a dream. And that dream was in the path. On either side there was darkness. And it was a wall. You put your hand into that darkness. From where it hit that darkness, it couldn't be seen. And in that path, I came face to face with the devil. I couldn't retreat. I couldn't go forward. And I knew that if I went out to the sides, I'd never find my way back. When I cried out, I was given the sword. My mind went directly to Ephesians, where it told me what the sword was, which is the Word of God. Since we've been back to Missouri this last time, and from the time that we've come back, we've run into people that have had problems spiritual-wise. What I mean by spiritual-wise, it isn't sins necessarily, but it's that which they carried with them, or they had about them, which was an evil spirit. And to me, the battle we're talking about now is not necessarily, I think in the end, it's going to be fighting, possibly. But right now, the battle that we're fighting right now, and it's like Donnie said, you can tap into any power you want to tap into out there. And when we had some books that Dad was given on Satanism, how to conjure up demons, and things like this, I read a few of them from my own understanding. They gave you the chance. These can be bought. They gave you the chance to call this demon for whatever you want. And the one thing that they finally tell you down toward the end of the book is that the only way you can get rid of this demon that you called up is you have to call up the next powerful demon before you can get rid of the one you just had. So each time you call another one up, you're getting somebody that's worse each time. So each time you're getting in deeper and deeper. Another one that went along with the store that I was talking about was I looked at, and Alvin Harris talked about it some in his presentation of the New Age movement. He talked about Dungeons and Dragons. And Adam and I went up last night to the mall. And I took a look at Dungeons and Dragons. And I took a look at the books that they have for their mastery books on how to play the game. And each one of the face of these games, it starts off and you have a man and he's got a small sword and he's fighting a small dragon. And then in the second game, you've got a little bigger sword and a little bigger dragon. And in the third game, you've got even a bigger sword, one that the guy can hardly hold up, and you have even a bigger dragon. And each time, the sword gets bigger, but it's always a mystical sword. And it's always some dragon you can fight. And in the book, they give you all these different things that you can do to overcome this, and it all goes back to like a kid that Randy Sheldon had in his class, in his Sunday school class. The kid got up to the fifth level in this game, and in the fifth level of this game, he became what is known as an assassin. And a voice came to him and told him that the only way he could advance in this game is he had to go out and literally burn a house. Now, I talked to young Jim about that. He related an experience to me along the same line about three girls that were playing this game. And they came to a point in this game where the only way they could advance in this game is they had to take their own lives. And when he went there, he treated a girl that tried to commit suicide. I think Donnie's right. I think the Brother Hoskins right. We're looking at a whole scope of things where from time to time we'll go off on shoots like this on questions that we have. But if you don't know what you believe, you're not going to be able to stand where you're at. Because daily, and every time I turn around, Christian people are telling me, well, you know, I know that's more the way you're supposed to be, but, you know, in the end it'll all work out right. We're being bombarded by so much that you can't turn around. So the only way you can do is just face it head on and go with what you know to be true. You have to fight with the tools that you've been given. Without prayer and faith in what it can do, we're going to have problems. So,
Jason, say. Do you want to say something?
Mm-hmm. Why don't you? A lot of things really shocked me when I first started getting into this because I was from the Mormon church, and And it displayed just about everything we talked about. The masonry, the man becomes a god type thing, and God was man originally, and then became God by his works and whatever. And that's about the way Mormons believe it, that they work their way to heaven. It's shocking because they're so squeaky clean looking. You know, they come on to you like Eagle Boy Scouts, seriously. And that's the way a lot of this rainbow stuff is. It comes on you as innocent dollies and colors and things. And a lot of people who are simple-minded, which is most people in the world, are taken in by it. And I was really shocked by that. And the thing is, the people who are part of it, they don't know they're being used. They really don't. They think they're doing the Lord's will, and they're quite convicted on that. And how to deal with it, I'm not really sure. I'm really shocked, though, with that, how far gone they are. I mean, I didn't realize that. A lot of things like their patriarchal blessings, which they bless you for, it's like fortune telling. It's really what it is. They give you this blessing and tell you what your future is going to be. This fortune telling. Baptism of the dead. It's talking to your dead relatives. All the seance things, and really is what it is. And it's bizarre. And what it does is it discredits this our work, because you know it discredits the Book of Mormon. But thing is, I'm trying to get out is the ignorance of a lot of people of the scriptures, and my ignorance, because a lot of times I get with Virgil, and he pops stuff out at me, and I really don't know how to deal with it. I mean, as far as the scriptures go, because I don't know them that well. And I studied and studied and studied, and I still do not know them that well. And it's a giant mountain for me. And I need your help in helping me understand these things, because I'm very ignorant. I just noticed this the other day when I was with Jay and Andy and Debbie. They're talking about some of these things, their basic attitudes about God and the gospel are a lot deeper than mine. And it kind of shocked me and woke me up a little bit. We need to be together more. We need to talk things out more like we are tonight. Because somebody mentioned just coming to the Sunday service to listen to preachers. I won't do it. And I see that right now. I can go home and study the scriptures, but it doesn't sink in like some things are now, you know. And I think the only way we can do is get little meetings going together like this, or home meetings or whatever. It's so important. And the deception is so massive out there. It's, you know, when I found the Mormon church was false, I thought, oh, this is the worst thing that could possibly be happening. All those millions of people. But now I'm beginning to see that everything is fighting against us. Everything. And we can't stand in front of it. Like going home watching TV and taking more of it in. We can't stand it. Something we're really praying and work together about. Not just this one subject, but a lot of things. You know, I have these things come on to me, and like he said, the old scriptures he read off of that one church, the Unified Church, God is love. And then he mentioned something else, you know, and it would have gone over my head. I wouldn't have seen it. I know a lot of other people here have been in this church for many years, and they caught it. There's a lot of new members here or whatever. Some that are weak that will fall if we don't help them. And I've had people come on me time and time again, like Virgil or my previous job. I had a boss who was in the Buddha religion or whatever, and he'd come on to me and that stuff. It's very pleasing to the carnal mind. And the only thing that has kept me going this far is my witness of the Book of Mormon. It's the only thing that I've had to hang on for a long time. And to understand more what's going on. And I don't know what to do about it. I'm just kind of backing off the report. I need to do that.
Say it again.
Yes, I'm saying.
Yeah, you want, did you want to say that?
Oh, I was just going to say that for parents, I think it's really a good idea when you buy your kids a toy. I went through last night down at Kmart and went back and looked at the toys. I just decided I'd go to Kmart and see what I could see that I thought was part of this, and I walked to the toy aisle. And I decided, well, I better go then and get a pad and write it down. So I went and bought a rainbow pad and came back and started writing stuff down. But anyway, I'm not going to read it because it would be superfluous. But when you buy those toys, a lot of them are imitations of a real toy. But read the box of the toy and read it. Your kids are being launched into missions. And the concept of this religion is it good and evil? God is both good and evil. And there's the Black Lodge and the White Lodge. And they talk about good and evil on these things. Good and evil. And death and destruction and all kinds of things. Look at it and just read it, and you'll see. Now your children may not understand it, but as they grow older and watch things like the Masters of the Universe, well, that's the principles. They talk about the wise ones, and the masters are talking about the Masters of the Universe and super people. And so, at any rate, just read the boxes, and you'll see that your children are being conditioned to be sent on a lifelong mission of demons and dragons. An endless fight between good and evil that is never supposed to end, and that is one of their basic beliefs, that it will never, ever end. And there must be a balance between the two of them, and it will never end. And so, at least know what you're looking at, you know, when you see it, and that's very obvious if you know what you're looking at. That's all I'm
going to say. Marlene had something there. Marlene?
I was just going to say, I think we have to be real careful about is who we give our money to. When a bunch of the cherry people went to the zoo last weekend, we were approached at the gate, and these people gave us a sticker. They wasn't like butterflies or rainbows, it was just happy faces and stuff like that. So they said, when you get you're fine for the smiling permit or something like that, they said, you're fine for that. We'd like you to give a donation to so-and-so for a world hunger. And so at first, it sounded real good, and I said, well, who do you represent? And I forget what she said, so-and-so organization. And I said, are you a Mooney? And she said, no, I'm not. And I mean, I remember that Moonies think nothing of lying.
It is.
And then I thought, so it's exactly,
there are no boundaries.
She says, we're some Christian, universal,
universal unification.
I just
the one thing that I found when I was reading in some of the stuff was, you know, they go through these books and they quote scripture after scripture, and then they tell what it means. And all I can say is it's not the plainness of the gospel. And the only way, you know, it's all garbage. I don't even care to read it anymore, really. And all I say is, like what Michelle was saying, what do we do? How do we go about, you know, overcoming this? The only thing we can do is stick to the plainness of the gospel. Anything that comes from man's hands is garbage. But if it's the gospel of Christ, and we go to the Book of Mormon, and the Bible, then we should be okay.
I get the floor. I was going to say that I think we've had some good counsel tonight, in as much as that this is garbage, but it's real. It's real garbage. And that the only way we will survive in this day is by the wrought iron. I'd like to remind us of something, and that is that people from generations, holy men, long to live in our day. Sometimes we ask ourselves why, but we live in a momentous day when the outpouring of God's Spirit shall be mighty among men. And we have a big task, but we need to be more aware of it. We need to be mindful of different ones in our prayers, of each other, everyone, because no one's above falling. And pray for one another. And I hope that tonight was beneficial. Sorry.
There's some more right here. It's got in the mail. Anyway, if you want to come look at some of this stuff, it's very interesting. After we get done here, this is a book called Charisma, and it has a little asterisk by it. It's a registered, what's the word? Anyway, it's registered with the government. It's their
trademark.
Well, when I was down at Kmart last night, they had a bunch of toys, and they're made by Charisma. And there are moons and rainbows and stars and all kinds of stuff. But you can come look at this. This book is from the Rosicrucians. It's Mysteries of Osiris, Ancient Egyptian Initiation. And initiation, by the way, is their counterpart for our baptism. So you can look at that. I got to get it back to the library, but it's a Mason's book, is what it is. And it's not supposed to be printed or anything. It's just supposed to be published for serious students, and it has a little thing in there not to be sold or republished or anything. That's the real stuff right there. But I would encourage reading everything that's up here. So
Louise has her hands.
Jay, I wanted to remind you that I put that card up there. Don't get it mixed up in your...
And
if they're coming up there to look, they might sign the card. This is a card for the Don Hip family who lost their son.
Right up here. Some of the announcement. Gordon told me to say that we'll go ahead and try this week to start our